Let's turn to the 40th chapter of to the 40th Psalm. We thank you. We just praise the Lord. He's given us such a day today, and usually I put everything to the first two services of the morning, and by the time nighttime comes, I'm pretty well whipped. But here we are tonight with just a, not very long, a short message from our Lord. He wants us to hear tonight. That 40th Psalm, that first verse, it says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. Now, that shows us right there that before a sinner is heard, he has to be patient. He has to learn patience. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit. And that term there indicates it was a pit of noise. And brother, that's what the Lord delivers every sinner from, a pit of noise. A pit of noise, a pit of confusion. You talk about the gospel, people saying the gospel brings in confusion, and that your people, that you're preaching confuse people. It's all the way around the other way. That individual is already confused. He's in a pit of noise before the Lord ever gets a hold of him. And he's confused. Yes? Now what happened? He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, or a pit of noise, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and establish my goings. And he had put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man who maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are towards us, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, here's the Lord Jesus speaking here. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation, and lo, I have not restrained my lips. O Lord, thou knowest, I have not hidden thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me, so that I am not able to look up. There are more than the hairs of mine head, and therefore my heart faileth me. I can see here the cries of our Lord. I don't know whether you can or not. I can feel here the cries of my blessed Lord. This is a psalm of patience, but is also a psalm of sufferings, and is also a psalm of deliverance. In here it tells the story of the sufferings of our Lord, of his patient and enduring this suffering, patiently enduring it, and then seeing his God, my God, deliver him. In that 13th verse, be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and confounded together who seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backward and put to shame who wish me evil. Let them be desolate for a reward of their shame, who say unto me, Aha, aha. Let all those who seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee, and let such as love thy salvation say continually, The Lord be magnified. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. Now, isn't that a beautiful psalm? Isn't it wonderful? I often wonder what our late pastor meant when he said, if you can put your ears down to these psalms and just listen closely, you could hear the groaning of the Messiah, of the suffering Savior. And you can. We don't know what pains he suffered for you and I. Our finite mind cannot comprehend the sufferings that the Lord Jesus Christ endured on the cross, in the garden, in the courts of Pilate, on the cross, and the enduring agony in the tomb. And as he speaks here, he says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit. And he's talking there about the grave, the dungeon, where death. He heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, that which concealed me. And he brought me up out of that. And he put my feet upon a rock. And the scripture talks about the Lord Jesus Christ as being the rock of ages. You fall on this rock, and this church, the church established upon this rock, Christ, you put my feet upon a rock and establish my goings. Now I want us to turn with us in connection with that, to the 22nd Psalm. 22nd Psalm, turn with us. Lest we forget Gethsemane, lest we forget the sufferings of our Lord, lest we go on our merry way and think nothing of it. And so many people today in the church, out of the church, to them is just a passing scene. But how many of us have thought, given it our attention, dwell upon it, cherished it, made it a part of our life. Just take time out and realize what the Son of God did for sinners, for you and I as a sinner. And I've often said, you pitch your tent out there on Golgotha's hill and gaze upon that middle cross and just watch, gaze, study that form, the Son of God, Emmanuel, God with us. Gaze upon him and let it break your heart. Let it break that rebellion. Let it break all that pride and bitterness. And let it melt you and humble you. The suffering Savior. The suffering Savior. I'll tell you one thing. You do that, you'll never be the same. You may go there as a guilty sinner, as a hell-deserving sinner, but you'll come back rejoicing, praising the Lord, praising Him for dying for you. You'll be melted. You'll be thanking Him throughout eternity when you reach the other side, that by faith He enabled you to go outside of the city, as it were, to be identified with the suffering Christ, God's substitute for sinners, God's Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world, the bleeding crucified Lord, Lord, crown Him Lord, crown Him Lord of your life. Crown Him Lord of your life. Like I said this morning, if He doesn't mean anything to you, I don't know what to think. I just don't know what to think. He either means everything or nothing. Christ, the Lamb of God. Look at that first verse of that 22nd Psalm. My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? What does that indicate to us tonight? It tells us that he was forsaken of God, that you and I would not be forsaken, that you and I would never be forsaken. Our Lord was forsaken of His Father. His face was hid from Him. But you see, we're made to look upon His face. We're made to see into His face. But He was forsaken of the Father, that you and I, as a poor sinner, would be accepted of Him. Isn't that marvelous? Isn't that grace? Isn't that mercy? Oh, my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not. And in the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou who inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. Now that's that our Lord was reasoning on the cross with the Father. And as Isaiah tells us in the 53rd chapter, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. It pleased him to pour down the judgment upon his Son. It pleased him to shower down all the wrath upon his son. It pleased him, as if to say he delighted in doing it. Caused him much grief. And that fifth verse, they cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. Now, I wonder why he said that I am a worm and no man. We see pictures of on crosses of the Lord that's not of the Lord. Crucifixions, pictures there with someone hanging there with some clothes on and not seriously scarred, maybe a plot of thorn on his head. But Isaiah gives us a true picture of the Lord when he hung on the cross. When he made that statement there, he says, I am a worm. Now, what was he referring to? They say his form was not recognizable. It was more of a form of a beast than it was a man. He was so beaten and so bruised and such agony and pain until his human form was not recognizable. It was beyond recognition. I often wondered why he was so bruised and so punished. But I know, because that tells me that every sinner, every individual who rejects the truth of God's Word, who rejects Christ as their Lord and Savior, and will not recognize Him as Lord of their life, who, like those, that multitude said, away with Him! I don't want him. Away with him. Crucify him. Crucify him. Can you think about the eternal punishment that God will rain upon those that have rejected his son and have turned down his love gift and set aside all that punishment and everything that his son suffered? Do you think the Lord's gonna let that go by? That sinners can desecrate it, sinners can say all manners of things against it, against his son, against his word, against the gospel? Do you think God the Father's gonna let that punishment, that judgment escape? Those who have rejected him go unpunished? No. I often said, and you have too, that what our Lord suffered on the cross is what you and I would have suffered if the Lord never would have shown mercy and shown grace to our hearts and lives. Do you think I can keep still? Do you think I can take it easy? Do you think I wonder what the adversary and everybody is saying? When the Lord gave all of his life for me, gave everything for me, suffered everything for me, drank the cup of damnation dry for me, that I might be delivered, that I might not have to suffer like that. That calls for our lives, doesn't it? To give our all. For you to give your all for the Lord. Oh, sinner. Oh, sinner, what Christ has done for you and I. Oh, believer, what he's done for you and I. May the Lord give us a new vision along that line. A new rededication of our lives. Our lives will take on a new significance, a new importance, as the Lord is moving in our midst. He's given us something here that the average church doesn't have. He's given us the gospel to proclaim. The gospel, the truth. Christ died. Christ was buried. Christ risen, exalted. Christ glorified. I'm sold out for Christ, are you? I'm sold out for Christ, one who loves me so much, one who's done so much for me, one who's broken all the powers of Satan, broken the penalty, the power of sin, delivered me from the penalty of the law, delivered me from the guilt of sin, given me a great salvation, a great hope, a glorious hope, given me promises of a new heaven, a new earth, a new home, a new body, promise of eternal life with him forever and ever and ever. I'm sold out for Christ. Are you? You're sold out for Christ. Then you'll walk with me in love. You'll walk with me, and we'll walk in fellowship together in love. We certainly will. And like David says, I am a companion of all those that fear the Lord, that love the Lord. And like Paul the Apostle says, those that love not the Lord, let them be anathema. Let the curse of God come upon them. That's God's word. But let us be careful. Don't let our speech betray our life. Let us be true. Delivered by his power. Washed in his blood. Walk in the newness of life in Christ. I know when the Lord called me to be the pastor of this church here, I never knew I've made surrenders before, dedications before, And we always do. We're always rededicating our life. Now, I'm talking about those that are saved. Those that are not saved cannot dedicate their life in that respect. And you cannot rededicate it. First, you've got to be generated by the Holy Spirit. And there's that regeneration power of God's Holy Spirit that makes you a new creation in Christ. And then comes the dedication to service. There comes the dedication, like the Apostle Paul says, just give your body as a living sacrifice upon the altar unto the Lord. And that's our reasonable service. That's the least you and I can do, is to give our lives unto the Lord and let Him use us for His glory. And that's what He's calling every one of us to do. Everyone, from the pastor on down. And I count myself the least of all of God's people. I wondered why He saved me, and now I wondered why He put me in the pulpit here. But I praise the Lord. He's backed me. He's been with us. He's given us utterance. And praise the Lord that we have a people that are praying for me. God's answering your prayers. And how the people are giving to the work and the finance and everything, I'm telling you, it won't surprise me where we're going to bust out at. It doesn't. To what extent the Lord's going to use this ministry to get the gospel out. He wants people. He wants to find a people that's going to be true and that'll walk with Him in love, in patience, in long-suffering, in understanding. And He's doing that. He's doing that which I made to praise Him for. It's touching everywhere. And those, the enemy, I tell you, the Lord is always two steps in front of them. Two or three steps in the front. The devil is fighting. He's mad because God's working. He's mad because we got awakened sinners here. And He's awakening sinners out of radio land. He's mad to see how this ministry is prospering when everything seemed like it was going to go under. But you know, I believe before this ministry goes under, God will have to go under. But I praise the Lord that I've been singing that song ever since the pastor's death. God's on the throne. God is still on the throne and He still cares for His own. Because we honor the Son. We exalt the Son. We magnify the Son. We have one person in mind, and that's Him. That's Christ. That's all. Let every knee bow unto Him. Let all praises be given unto Him, because He died. He set the way for sinners to be set free. He broke the bands asunder that held us. Yes, that bound us. He loosed the chains. He fought the battles. He won the battles for us. That's why we're more than conquerors through Him, through Christ, who loves us. We triumph in Christ. That's where my victory is tonight, brothers and sisters, in Christ. And if you're thinking about defeating me, you're going to try to defeat my Lord, because He is my captain. He is my salvation. And I triumph in Christ. And so does every believer. And every sinner will triumph in Christ. The grace of God that reaches far beyond your sins, far beyond your expectancy. No matter what type of sinner you think you might be, No matter how wicked you are, no matter how depraved you might feel yourself, no matter how much down the pit you are, or how much your feet are in the clay, the grace of God knows no height, no depth, no length, no breadth. It goes beyond all of it. And so is the love of God. Oh, praise the Lord when he sets his heart upon a sinner. When he sets his love upon a sinner. I don't care where that sinner goes. I love to think about old John Newton. When he left home, a drunkard, a curser, and he swore never to come back. And his poor mother was praying always for him. And he went to the depths. Read that little booklet, Out of the Depths by John Newton, and see where the Lord got a hold of him, out on the high seas. I'm telling you, the Lord followed him all the way out over there and got a hold of him. Grace knows no bounds. The grace of God. And I pray that God's grace will reach out after some of you tonight. Some of you out there in radio land who are listening, who will listen to this tape, may the grace of God reach out. You may be thinking about running. You might be thinking about committing suicide. You might be thinking about this and about that. But oh, the grace of God will get a hold of you. It'll get a hold of you. It'll change your whole heart and life to your full amazement, like it's done me. Amazing grace, yes. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. I see. And I may not be able to tell too much, but I feel many times like that blind man over there in the Gospel of John. He says, I know one thing. Once I was blind, but now I see. Once I was on the road to hell, but now I'm on the road to heaven. Once I was lost, but the great shepherd came, put his arms around me, and led me home. Yes, once was all darkness, but now it's light. And now I can walk in that light. The Word of God is my light. I can walk in that light. It is a light to my, a lamp to my feet and a light to my pathway. And we fellowship with the Father and with the Son in that light. And the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses us from all of our sins. Isn't that wonderful? Not a one sin that you can look around and say that has not been cleansed by the blood. Every bit of it. Every bit of it. No wonder the Apostle Peter says, oh, that precious blood. Precious blood, more precious than silver or gold. Because why? It has been tried in the furnace of affliction. It was tried in the furnace of sufferings. It was tested on the cross. But it came forth, didn't it? In all of its beauty, in all of its preciousness, in the furnace, but now precious, it reveals the love of God, the preciousness of Christ, the preciousness of that blood that came from Emmanuel's vein without spot, without blemish. And it's the blood that makes the difference. It's the blood that God looks at. When he looks at the sinner, if he sees the blood, God is satisfied. Because that sinner, he's satisfied with God's substitute. Isn't that wonderful? Are you satisfied with God's substitute tonight? I am. I don't need anything else. I've got Christ, and that's all I want. That's all. I've got his righteousness. I've got his wisdom. I've got his sanctification, and one day, praise the Lord, he is going to redeem us from this world. He is my redemption. and you if you know him. So I say, go on. Go on. And like Moses says, you that are on the Lord's side, come unto me. Come unto me. And Christ says, come unto me. Come unto me. Come unto me, and I'll give you rest. Rest from the law. Rest from your labors. Rest from all of your sins. I'll give it to you. Come to me. Praise the Lord. That invitation was given one day. I heard it, and he gave me grace to come. I knew I couldn't come, like I told a woman on the phone this afternoon. She called me. She says, I know I can't. She said, I can't come. I don't know what you mean when you say come. I can't come. I said, yes, I understand you can. But I tell you one thing you can do. You can cry. I said, you can cry. Ephraim found his helplessness. Ephraim knew he couldn't turn. But what was his cry? Turn thou me, O Lord, O Jehovah, and I shall be turned. And I knew that was my cry in the beginning. I knew I couldn't turn, but I said, turn me, O Lord, and I shall be turned. No sinner can turn themselves unto the Lord. You cannot. You have no strength. You're held solid there in Satan's territory under his power, and you cannot come out of that. That's why it takes a stronger man than you and I to reach down there and pull us out of there. That's why salvation is by power and by blood. Nobody can save themselves, but it has to be another. And that's the day's man, that's the Redeemer, that's him who has to intervene and deliver you. He'll hear your cry for deliverance. Come, Lord, come. Come get me where I am. Come, I'm lost. That shepherd would never herd that sheep out there if that sheep wasn't affixed there and began to bleat. He was in a helpless condition. Couldn't get out of there. Couldn't get out of that fix he was in, trapped in a limb or something. But there was one thing he could do, was cry. And the shepherd heard the cry and went after the sheep. And listen, sinner, you can cry. You can cry. You can cry. Just like a little baby, when he wants something, he'll cry. Can't say a whole lot, but he'll cry. And may you cry. Cry tonight. Tell him to come after you where you are. You might be in a lot of unbelief. Come after me, Lord. I can't. Come after me. Come after me. You might be fighting rebellion. Lord, this rebellion, it's got me down. Well, break it, Lord. Break it. Break it. And like I told that woman, you know, just, I said, what you're telling me, you could tell it all to the Lord and save yourself a lot of words. And so she said she would. I hope she does. Now, I'd love to see all of you praising the Lord, rejoicing in him, walking with him, separated from everything unto him. Then, like Enoch, you'll walk on home with him one day. Wasn't that a wonderful time? Walk on home with the Lord. Walk on home with him. That's God's message tonight. May you turn to him. Turn to the Lord. Call upon his name. Cry unto him. He'll hear you. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy presence tonight in our midst. We thank thee for thy message. How precious thou art to our own hearts. We don't deserve thy mercy, but we thank you for it. Lead us and guide us and keep us. And may all that we do or say will honor and glorify our Lord. It's in his name we pray and ask it. Amen.